Okay, good evening and welcome to this meeting of the Scrutiny Value for Services Committee. It's lovely to see members of the public in presence. I hope this meeting doesn't put you off attending more of our meetings. It's always nice to see the public seeing what we do. Now, for the benefit of the public, I'm just going to introduce the councillors that are on the committee. They're the ones that will be making decisions, if you were. There's myself, Councillor Russell Locke, Councillor Grosvenor, Councillor Hadley, Councillor Beach, Councillor McGarry, Councillor Hudson, Councillor Gaskin. Now, I've got a few statements to make in my preamble. I will then explain the process for the meeting a little bit later on. But all voting councillors should come to the meeting with an open mind. If it becomes clear that a committee member has already predetermined a decision, then this councillor will no longer be able to vote on the item. Okay, let's make a start on the agenda. So, item one on the agenda, apologies for absence. Do we have any apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chairman. We haven't received any apologies for absence.
Very well. Okay, item two on the agenda, declarations of interest. Any declarations of interest? Nope. Okay. We move to item three on the agenda, public minutes of the meeting of the 28th of September 2022. Members of the committee, has anyone spotted anything odd in those minutes? No? In that case, I would like to propose that the minutes be accepted. Could I get a seconder for that? Thank you, Councillor Gaskin. All in favour of accepting the minutes? That was unanimous. Thank you very much. We will now move to item four of the agenda. Urgent business. I don't believe we've received any urgent business, and that is correct. We don't make this rapid a progress through the agenda for much longer. I'm just warning the public there. So we now come to item five on the agenda, the call-in of Executive Decision Record 469.22. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a preamble, then I'll explain the process for this item. So, the title of this decision, the EDR, was the acquisition of High Street property from Molson Coors Beverage Company. The decision in question was taken by the leader of the council, Councillor George Allen, and the deputy leader, Finance, Treasury, Management and Communications Councillor, Steve Sankey, and the interim head of service, Thomas Deary. I'm going to summarise the decision. That summary was available in the meeting pack, by the way, so I'm not ad-libbing this. This is what's already been distributed. To approve the undertaking of the exchange and completion of contracts for the purchase of property at High Street, Burton-on-Trent, from Molson Coors Beverage Company, in order to facilitate the undertaking of the Town's Fund High Street project, and to approve the decision to opt to tax the property, as outlined in Appendix 1, following acquisition in a submission to HMRC that covers the wider project site. Now, in terms of paperwork, a link to the decision record has been provided online, as has the agenda for the meeting, along with the call-in details and a copy of the risk register for the project. So, those members of the council who have requested the call-in and do not serve on the committee are present at this meeting. I may speak during the discussions, but they are not allowed to vote at the end. So if those councillors not on the committee do wish to speak, do raise your hand and we'll slot you in along with everyone else in the discussions. The following councillors have called in this decision: Councillor Grosvenor, Councillor Hall, Councillor Hussain, Councillor Legg, Councillor Florence Dukes, Councillor Shrive, both Councillor Walkers, Councillor Lamb, Councillor Whittaker, and Councillor Hadley. Now, for those of you who've had a read through our constitution, there are reasons you can specify to request a call-in. Now, this particular call-in has been called in on four of those reasons: 11.2.5, a presumption in favour of openness; 11.2.6, clarity of aims and desired outcomes; 11.2.7, a consideration of other options; and 11.2.10, with due regard to any risks involved. Now, I'm going to give for the purpose of enlightening the public, a little bit of an explanation of the steps we will now take. So the first step I'm going to take will be to pass to the monitoring officer to hear the response from the SBC to this call-in. We will then ask Councillor Grosvenor if he wishes to summarise the reasons for the call-in. I will then ask the decision takers, in this case Councillors Sankey and Allen, to make a statement on the decision that's been made. We will then enter a discussion with councillors on the committee and also the councillors involved in the call-in itself, before finally, once that discussion has concluded, moving to making one of three decisions. Now, these are outlined in our constitution. 6.4.11.1, which is to do nothing and allow the decision to stand. 6.4.11.2, to refer the decision back to the decision taker with a request to reconsider, including the reasons in writing for doing so. Now, that particular course of action does not stop the decision from taking place. It means we are passing our considerations back to the decision takers and asking them to consider them. So we as a committee cannot stop this EDR in that respect. And finally, 6.4.11.3, to refer the matter directly to the full council for debate. But there is a note on this in the Constitution. This will only usually be in exceptional circumstances, such as when the decision is contrary to the policy framework or the council's budget. Okay, so we will now run through those set of steps that I've just outlined. Starting with the first one, I will now refer to the monitoring officer, Mr. John Teasdale, for his response to the call-in.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, to reiterate the position, this matter has been called in accordance with Part 3, Paragraph 6.2 of the Constitution. At least 10 councillors were signatories to the call-in, and the reason for call-in referenced the relevant principles stipulated in Article 11.2 of the Constitution. However, following a consideration of the principles referred to as the reasons for the call-in, only the reference principle at Article 11.2.10 merited a deeper consideration in the circumstances of this matter, which is with due regard to any risks involved. This was following consideration by the proper officer and also the chair, and the other principles which were referenced by the call-in were unsubstantiated and in part imprecise. To confirm, Chair, consideration of risk is the relevant principle in this instance, and the scrutiny committee is here to consider this matter in accordance with Article 11.2.10, as explained in the report. Unless I can be of any further assistance, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay. So, if I may remind councillors at this point that this is a public debate. This is a, public meeting. And that all discussion should relate to the matter under debate, which is 11.2.10, with due regard to risks involved. Please don't take it personally, councillors, if I have to interrupt you to say that you're off topic. I suspect this will be a long discussion as it is, so we do need to remain focused here. I would also like to say, for the benefit of the public, that we have noted that there's been a lot of social media posts around this meeting, and to be honest, some of the material that's been presented on social media hasn't been terribly accurate. And I do hope you don't come away from this meeting disappointed that this scrutiny committee is not capable of making the types of decision perhaps you think it should be able to. Now, I will now go to my next step, which is to ask Councillor Grosvenor to summarise the reasons for the call-in. Councillor Grosvenor.
Chair, can I just interject? Am I allowed to ask a question of the monitoring officer on the decision making for the call-in at this juncture?
The decision of the monitoring officer is final, I understand.
Through you, Chair. Yes, it was made in consultation with the proper officers and the Chair when we looked at the reasons for call-in.
Sorry, can you just clarify
just
who those individuals?
It's not something we'll be revisiting, Councillor Florence Hughes.
Thank you.
Councillor Grosvenor.
And just to confirm before I give the reasons for the call-in, that this part of the debate will not preclude me from taking further part of the debate as it transpires.
Oh, no, of course not.
Okay, so before understanding the reasons for the calling, I think we need to realise what's actually taking place and what it facilitates. Excuse me. So the decision is effectively to purchase the Molson Coors offices and buildings associated to the offices in High Street and Bird-upon-Trent for £5.3 million, which I think Councillor Allen's smiling at me for some reason, which will then facilitate the redevelopment of the buildings known as Bass House and Town House. That in itself has meant that Molson Coors have closed the National Brewery Centre because they wish to move their offices for their staff to the National Brewery Centre, and that then has led to the council facilitating a plan for the future use of Bass House, which will become the council's property should the council buy the offices off Molson Coors. So the council is looking for a future use for Bass House, and that future use has been determined by the council over the course of since September the 6th or June the 5th, that it will be used for a heritage space. There are a number of risks associated with the future use or the development of Bass House, which will come about because of this deal being enacted by this decision. Now, the development of Bass House requires levelling up funding for that to happen. Now, the council will own the buildings and then have money from levelling up, if they get it, to do them up. Even the chief executive had said to me, we may have enough money to buy the buildings, but not enough to do anything with them. That in itself is a risk which has not been taken into account. The awarding of levelling up funding is a risk which has not been taken into account. And there is no business plan for the future use of the buildings that the council will acquire. And so effectively, they've put that, the redevelopment and the future use, on the council's credit card by the purchase of these buildings from Molson Coors without taking that into account. And they hope the government will pay the bill for that, but there's no certainty that the government will. It's been identified as a risk 9 in the report that we've seen this evening with a suggestion that if they don't get levelling up funding, they'll get money from gift aid or private investment or heritage lottery funding or the Arts Council. That is a risk. The risk is that the council owns the building and has nothing to do with funding to do with the buildings moving forward. Given that the plans for the Bass House so far have been suggested to include a university hub, a restaurant, a hotel and now a museum, it's clear there's no definitive plan or business case for it to be a museum or a heritage space moving forward. There's no money to restore it currently. There's no money to kit it out currently, and they don't have the money to run it moving forward, which again is a risk to council's finances. And given there is no certainty whatsoever over additional funding to do anything with the buildings once they've been acquired, the risk is immense. And more than that, there doesn't seem to be an idea whatsoever what the costs will be of the building enhancements or the building running costs after the council have acquired it, which again is a risk. How much will it cost to prepare the buildings to house a heritage space? How much will kitting out a heritage space cost when the building is restored? We've seen proposals mooted that it will include stables, glass walls, buildings to house the machinery and cars. How much will all that cost? There's no business plan around that. And that cost is a huge risk to the council moving forward. Who's going to pay to run it? And who will run it? And that, again, is a risk to the council which has not been taken into account. All these risks are there because the council is going ahead with buying the Molson Coors offices without ensuring that the consequences would not be the loss of the National Brewery Centre and that the consequences moving forward do not impact the council taxpayer. Either the council failed to establish what would happen to the National Brewery Centre in the event of these offices being purchased, or they knew what Molson Coors would do and proceeded anyway. You've just got to look at the red, as I've mentioned, on the risk register. The council do not appear to have also included in the risk inflation, which is currently going to add £2 million to a £20 million project. And that's not really been taken into account either in the risk status. So, how do they intend to mitigate the risk? Gift aid, well, that will be thousands. That's not going to be millions. Gift aid, the nature of gift aid, is only thousands. Private sector investment, who from the private sector, considering the private sector organisation have just pulled out of the running of the National Brewery Centre, who from the private sector is then going to step in to fund the running of a museum or heritage space in the Bath House once the council have acquired the building and have refurbished it in 3 or 4 years' time? And that leaves then Arts Council funding and Heritage Lottery funding. The Arts Council is already making huge cuts to its funding. I don't see them stepping forward with any bailout of a heritage space. So that leaves Heritage Lottery funding. It's been months now since the closure was muted. It's been months since the council have come up with some plans to move forward the Bath House. What discussions have taken place with the Heritage Lottery people about funding? Have those funding options been explored? And what are they? As I've said, even the chief executive told me that we might have money to buy the buildings and nothing to do anything with them. So I'm going to recommend that we move to call this back into full council. The Conservatives on this panel may be whipped, or they may have been told to vote against anything that precludes the deal taking place immediately. But certainly in the briefing I had, it was suggested that the council want to proceed with this deal in December. We've got a full council meeting in December. It's only a 2-week delay. The Conservatives have the majority at full council. I think there is sufficient risk in this deal now that wasn't in place in March when the original recommendation came to full council. Risk about costs, risk about levelling up funding, risks involving the economy, risks involving inflation. There are significant risks for this to come back to full council, for full council to review it. The Conservatives are safe with the decision they've made. They already have 23 councillors at full council. They have the majority. It's a 2-week delay to have a full debate at full council of all councillors to understand the risks and whether or not they've been taken into account. And that's what I'm going to recommend through this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor, for your statement. I think it's probably worth me saying to the councillors around the table, we have to be very careful here when we're presenting our opinions not to present them as facts. There are a few moments in there, Councillor, where I think possibly you would give the indication to the public that you were presenting a fact or actually it was an opinion.
If you give me an example of that, I'll make mindful that I don't do that in future.
Certainly. The idea that the purchase of this site would cause the closure of the MBC.
Well, it has done.
You can't necessarily link the two, but I'm not going to.
Molson Coors has said if it wasn't for the purchase of their offices, they would not have closed the National Brewery Centre for new offices. So that's not an opinion, that's a fact.
I will bring this to Councillor Allen now and Councillor Sankey so that they can make their statements. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a statement to make, but I've just sort of start by making a public, just confirming publicly that none of the Conservative members have been whipped on this committee, and I'm sure whenever those members feel happy to make a contribution, they'll also confirm that as well. It's actually against our group rules, and despite Councillor Grosvenor, when he was the leader of the Conservative group, whipping the Chair in a situation like this, we have never done it.
That's a lie, actually, Councillor Allen, and I request that you retract that.
I'm not going to retract it. I will prove it.
Through you, Chair. Councillor Grosvenor, let Councillor Allen respond, please, and keep it respectful. Thank you.
I'm happy to prove it, Chair. I'll send you the papers tomorrow. Councillor Grosvenor mentioned that I was smiling, and I am smiling, yes. I'm very pleased to be called into this committee to have another opportunity to talk about the fantastic regeneration programme which started under my predecessor, Councillor Goodfellow, with the Burton Regeneration Strategy, Station Street public realm improvements and High Street works completed last year, and has now moved through to major plans to enhance and improve Burton's town centre. I'm privileged to now be leading this work and this council, which is positively engaged towards making real and meaningful improvements in Burton, which will leave a lasting positive impact on the town. Members should rightly be pleased to be part of this council at this time and part of this work, and I know the vast majority are excited about the future, and that includes members from both the Labour group and the Conservative group. Our plans for this site alone are nothing short of phenomenal. The Washlands, a major asset in the town and a huge missed opportunity for so many years, needs a visitor centre which will narrate the story of this beautiful natural environment. The Water Tower, a monument to Burton's great Bruin heritage, will be opened up and used as a viewing platform, offering a unique perspective to Burton. A great new public space, the Plaza, where we will be able to showcase public art and where people can gather for events not currently feasible in the town centre. The historic baths and townhouses, which stand as a reminder of the wealth and prestige Bruin has brought to this town for so many years. And of course, the proposed indoor entertainment venue, providing plenty of space for leisure and recreation activities for residents and visitors to enjoy. Yes, we have every right to be excited, and we have a lot to look forward to, but none of these opportunities are possible without first purchasing this property. This call-in, led by Councillor Grosvenor, fundamentally comes down to whether the Council has sufficiently considered the risks of purchasing the old bathhouse property, and there are two specific concerns. The first arises from the conversation in August between the Chief Executive and Councillor Grosvenor, where he questions the Council how the Council would pay for the delivery of the High Street project. The second concern is around whether there is an appropriate business plan to deliver a museum at Old Bath House and whether the Council has considered the risk of not being able to deliver it. Both of these calling reasons are ill thought out, and I'll set out my reasons why in turn. On the first, regarding the comment made by the Chief Executive to Councillor Grosvenor regarding the availability of funding. It is true, the Chief Executive made this comment in early August. But using that outdated conversation to try and justify this call-in fails to understand the context of what has happened between that conversation in August and now. It may suit Councillor Grosvenor's narrative, but all members will recall the town's fund allocation was approved by government towards the end of August, only a few days after this conversation. This news was publicly confirmed very quickly via the normal media channels, and we know Councillor Grosvenor didn't miss this news as he monologued about it on social media. Perhaps he was disappointed the town had been successful in securing £21.5 million of investment. It was also confirmed in the member briefing to all elected members on the 30th of August. So Councillor Grosvenor should be aware of this funding and that it had been confirmed. This confirmation of funding means the £20.3 million of Town's Fund and Section 106 monies for the delivery of the High Street project is secure, and the first tranche has already been paid to the Council. Furthermore, whilst the Levelling Up Fund is essential to the Bath House renovations, the Chancellor 2 weeks ago has committed to providing at least £1.7 billion in the second round of Levelling Up Fund. So whilst we still haven't had confirmation of our Lough bid, if our Lough bid is successful, it shouldn't be written off just yet. As such, the suggestion that the Council could have the money to buy the properties but do nothing with them is nonsense. Since there is still £15 million of confirmed funding left to deliver the project, which includes funding for the visitor centre, the viewing platform, the public plaza, the townhouse and more. Therefore, this risk is minimal and already accounted for. Councillor Grosvenor and certain members of the Labour Party may want to stop regeneration in the town centre, but this Conservative administration is absolutely committed to levelling up Burton. We are determined to ensure all of the funding this government has provided to our borough is delivered in full and to its fullest extent, raising the quality of life, increasing employment opportunities, more education, and much more larger tourism pull, and all of the footfall which comes with it, driving economic growth. This is our vision, this is our purpose, and we will not let a vocal minority stop us delivering transformational change. With regards to the second call-in reason, I would remind committee members that the Burton Towns Fund programme was debated and approved at full council at the meeting on the 21st of March earlier this year. The report on the programme detailed the business case assessment process and outcome for each of the Towns Fund's projects,
and the business cases themselves available as background papers, including the High Street Project business case. The chief exec at the time offered to give members access to these background papers at least twice in February ahead of the full council meeting, including in an email reminder to three group leaders at the time on the 23rd of February. Concerning though it is, not one of those who have called in this decision asked to see those papers. None of them were aware of their content, despite the reports being made available to them. If members had thought to take up that offer at this time, they would have a greater understanding of the proposal that was strongly approved by Council. The High Street Project business case set out HM Treasury Green Book compliant case for taking forward the project, which has now been approved by Government in August this year. The business case includes consideration of options, risk registers and funding requirements. Another background paper for that report was a heads of terms for acquiring the High Street property, which formed the basis of the approved recommendation to delegate the final decision to myself and the Deputy Leader of Finance. Also appended to the Council report was a summary document for the High Street project, which also set out what would be delivered through this project using the Town's Fund monies and what would be looked at in the second phase using other funding sources. Other sources such as income generated from the phase one of the project or levelling up funding itself. The renovation of Old Bass House for an unspecified use was identified as being in the second phase and was subsequently included in the levelling up fund bid. Therefore, in accordance with the council report and decision, it was always the intention to purchase this property, to use the town's fund monies to bring forward phase one of the project, and to use other funding to bring forward Old Bass House. To be clear, it is only the Old Bass House and leisure facility that is not funded by the town's fund. Other proposals on the High Street site are fully funded. I would certainly say that this means that council had the money to buy the buildings and not only do something with them, but actually do exactly what full council expects us to do with them. This situation has not changed since March council decision, and so the risk of the Old Bass House not coming forward has already been accounted for and is part of the decision taken by full council. What has changed since that decision is my desire to bring Old Bass House forward as a result of the confirmed closure of the National Brewery Centre alongside proposed Hepburn Heritage Centre identified for delivery through the town's fund, through the townhouse, which again is fully funded from a capital perspective. Consequently, the approved and funded £1.5 million for the Burton Heritage Centre remains available to take forward that project as the Council looks to expand the facility into Old Bass House. Supplementing this is the aim of securing the levelling up fund monies, heritage lottery fund monies, private investment and other capital funds. Nevertheless, if our Lough bid fails, the Council still has an approved £1.5 million to deliver the Heritage Centre and approved funding to acquire the property in question. Council members voted to support the purchase of this property and voted to support the creation of Burton Heritage Centre, and nothing has changed since March. At this point in time, the Council is exploring the feasibility of creating a museum in Old Bass House, and if this ultimately results in a financial risk, a financial ask to the Council, this would be brought to members as appropriate, and so it is wrong to use this calling process to try and preempt that decision. However, the fact remains that members supported the purchase of Old Bass House in March. They did so without any specific plans for its regeneration. To this end, the Council has acted within its policy framework, and the EDR was duly signed by myself and Councillor Sankey and the Interim Head of Regeneration. As such, I completely reject the notion that this risk has not been considered by the Council, as it ultimately was considered and approved by full Council on the 21st of March. The regeneration of Old Bass House was never to be funded by the Town's Fund. This was our position when the project was debated and approved by Council in March, and nothing has changed since then.
Thank you for your statement, Councillor Allen. Councillor Sankey, do you wish to add anything? Thank you, Councillor Sankey. We haven't reached the discussion yet, but we will do shortly.
I'm aware of that, Chair. It's just a point of clarification. You mentioned to Councillor Grosvenor about opinion and not fact. The leader made two statements, in his statement he mentioned two points. One about Labour members being excited. That if he knows which one of them, is he referring to the whole group or individuals? If it's individuals, he best name those, because I'm unaware of that. And also he referred to certain Labour members not being in favour of regeneration. That is not factual. So I hope you're going to pull him up as the same you've just done, Councillor Grosvenor. Otherwise, give us how he knows this.
Councillor Allen, do you wish to come back on that?
I'm happy to be corrected. I thought that at least one member of the Labour group was excited about regeneration plans, but apparently I stand to be corrected.
Your second point does stand, Councillor Walker.
So is he going to withdraw both of those comments regarding the Labour group and regeneration of certain Labour members?
That is Councillor Allen's choice. Councillor Allen does not wish to.
Sorry, Chair, just one more then. Just for the tapes then, so, and just for the public, that is factually incorrect.
I will reiterate the point I made before. It would help matters greatly if we could all try to refer to facts. If we can bring in hard evidence, that will help a great deal as well, rather than mere opinion. Is that okay? Okay. We will now move to the discussion proper. Now, for those of you unfamiliar with the way this committee has been running for the last few meetings, I do not force members to ask all their questions in one go. If you want to ask multiple questions, you are welcome to raise your hand multiple times. I think that's only fair under the circumstances, so that we can have a free and frank discussion. I will now ask if there are members of the committee who would like to ask some questions. Anybody? Councillor Hatley.
Thank you, Chair, and I welcome to the open and frank discussions because I think they're certainly going to be needed tonight. I think Councillor Allen was talking about levelling up Burton, but at this moment it'll probably be levelling Burton rather than levelling up Burton because you've referred to the space, but there'll be plenty of space but to do really nothing with after that. He also talked about the how it's confirmed the levelling up funding from Westminster. Does he know about the vote that which took place? Well, it was supposed to take place a few days ago regarding the levelling up fund, and it was delayed due to some rebellions in the Tory party, a rebellion of 40, I'm told. So are we still confident in this levelling up fund's availability, and what contingencies are in place if we don't receive any?
Councillor Allen, would you like to respond to that question?
If I could ask one clarification, please, Chair.
Certainly.
Councillor, are you referring to the vote on the levelling up bill as opposed to the fund?
Yeah, the levelling up bill, which took place a few days ago, yes.
The levelling up bill and the levelling up fund are two entirely separate things, Councillor.
But since I'm still, I've been asked, yes, I'm very confident that Burton will be granted the levelling up fund bid.
Okay, before we move to other questions, I'd like to make another request of my fellow councillors. If we could avoid political point scoring, it'd be lovely. But I appreciate that's difficult for everyone. Do I have other questions from the councillors present? And Councillor Walker and Florence Dukes, you are welcome to join in at this point, of course.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just Councillor Annie, you've just mentioned you're confident that this authority is going to be receiving levelling up money. Do you mean the levelling up fund one or two? Because you said about two that you weren't sure about that. So if you can just clarify that point, that'd be helpful. Thank you.
Lough one completed last year, so I'll be referring to Lough two.
Then I think perhaps we visit the text. Because Vaughan, you said earlier on that you weren't confident about levelling up fund two money coming forward for Bath House. Is that right?
No. I'm very confident.
Thank you. I would like to ask a question, if you don't mind. The risk register that was distributed, a lot of information, a bit of RAG grading in there, and a lot of numbers. One in particular has been of interest, and that was the 9 given to the Luft 2 bid. I was just wondering, could you provide a little bit of background on the discussions or the process that would have taken place in forming that number?
I'll ask Tom to answer that, please.
Thank you, Chair. And again, I'll start with a point of clarification, if I may. This is risk number 13 in the risk register, and it's an amber risk,
yeah.
Right, 9, not a red risk, as was stated earlier. The assessment of risks is a subjective process. It is open to interpretation, but these are decisions that are made amongst the project team. And so if the first iteration of this risk register would have gone in with the business case when it was submitted in March, Chair, and then the iterations since then are in response to external circumstances. So it's a process that's quite enshrined in the Council's project management approach and is sort of something that's done on an operational basis. Thank you, Chair.
I may ask a follow-up question. This may be slightly unfair on you because I'm not asking you to recalculate that risk at this moment, but the last time that risk register was updated was a little while back. In light of the autumn statement, do you believe that risk to have increased or decreased? I'm not asking you to recalculate, just to give an instinct.
I think if I may give a personal professional view, Chair, the comments made by the Chancellor at the autumn statement on levelling up fund were more positive than I anticipated, but we won't be reviewing that specific risk until we've had confirmation of where we stand on the funding.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Deary. Do we have other questions? Councillor Gaskin.
Yes, of Councillor Allen. The Molson Coors, did they ever intimate that the closure of the NBC would come forward as a cause of us purchasing Bass House? Was that ever made clear, or did that ever come about?
No, until the date that it was the week before the date that it was made public, and we were told that their decision had already been made.
Thank you. Also, just one more. Councillor Walker mentioned about the Labour Party people being happy about the regeneration. At the vote in March, are we aware if any of the Labour Party voted for that particular motion, therefore indicating that they may be happy?
I think all members but four, Councillor Hadley, Councillor Shrive, Councillor Walker and Councillor Mrs Walker, all abstained. Councillor Grove voted against, so presumably those that voted for it were happy and those that abstained weren't happy enough to vote for it.
Thank you.
Councillor Hudson.
Yeah, I was going to bring that point up, that people from across the House actually voted in favour of the town fund deal. At that meeting, whether they were happy or not, I don't know. But I would like to think that if people do vote in favour of a motion, that they are happy to be with that. Councillor Allen, when we made the decision back in March, and because I think the original decision had to come back to council because of another part of the town deal that we weren't happy with, which was changed, and then people were happy. When we discussed in March the town deal, what was the purpose that we were going to use the Bass House and the townhouse for? Because I think we were looking at something, but it wasn't anything to do with the brewery museum, if I am correct.
So the townhouse was outlined as being used for a museum to showcase Burton's heritage and history without brewing. Of course, at that point, the National Brewery Centre was still open, and that was serving that purpose. But we wanted to create a space that showcased and sort of told Burton's history without brewing. In terms of the Bath House, at that point, there was no use outlined or lined up for the Bath House. And as I say, the council supported that at that moment in time, and that was quite aware. Members should have been quite aware of that
of that bid. Since then, we were hoped to have the Staffordshire University were looking at the site and were interested in it, and that's since fizzled out and is no longer going ahead. That then brought us back to where we were, and we didn't have a use for it. So when the plans by Molson Coors were made clear to us, I thought it was only right that we try and use some of that building as much as it is possible to try and provide that joint museum site that showcases all of Burton's history now, and perhaps a brewing history that doesn't just focus on Molson Coors brews as well, because there's obviously a whole wealth of history, brewing history in Burton, not just Molson Coors' brewing history. Yes, Councillor Hudson.
So if the decision that you have made is allowed to stand, or it goes to full council and is agreed to stay as it is, what positive things are we going to get out of what we've done? Because I think there's a lot of positive things, but I'd like to know what you feel, please.
Without for fear of just repeating the statement that I started with, I think there's some fantastic opportunities on the site, the Project D site. We've got the water tower there, completely inaccessible and of no use to anybody, but nobody would want to see it go at all. We should make use of it, and having that turned into a platform gives a fantastic perspective of Burton. You'd be able to see the washrooms in full flood and actually see the flood wall doing its job. The visitor centre as well would be made possible with the Towns Fund, with the Towns Fund allocation and the money, showcasing and narrating what a fantastic opportunity, a fantastic natural asset the washrooms is. The public plaza as well, it was shown on West Midlands Today, the news, when we did the was asked to do a statement, and there was a report about the NBC closure. That public plaza is still very much centre of our plans. It creates an opportunity to have different public events. I sort of remember when you see these videos on Facebook and on social media of England scoring and all the beers goes up, and it's usually in a public space on a big screen. That would be a fantastic space to have that kind of thing going on. We've got the Roundabout Theatre that was really successful last year. Unfortunately, couldn't do it this year. It would be great to have it there in a couple of years' time. And of course, the car park, the space that's currently used as a car park, won't be needed anymore because the main buildings will be demolished and make way for 22 key worker homes or homes for key workers. And that will make possible this creative space for this indoor entertainment venue, which various different choices and options and ideas about what that could be used for. Nothing like it at the moment in Burton, certainly not in the town centre. So there's just a few things that we can expect to see, and that's on top of hopefully we'll be able to use the levelling up fund money to realise a full museum that will showcase, as I say, both parts of Burton's history, brewing and without. Please do.
This is a question to any one of the three of you that would like to answer. In the circumstances and what's happened, the risks that you identified, are they reasonable risks that we can take, and are we happy that they are reasonable risks and we should go ahead?
Yes, absolutely, they are. I think there's a point that I made to as part of the decision making before we signed the EDR, we were required by council, one of the conditions was to delegate it to Councillor Sankey and myself, but also to consult with opposition members, leader of the independent group, leader of the Labour group. One of the points I made to them was that there is a risk. Of course, there is a risk, and it has been identified as I've made clear already. But there is a risk that we, as the chief exec confirmed, that we have end up purchasing all of this site and perhaps don't end up having the MBC. To say that is not what we're looking to do at the moment, but that is still a risk worth taking because it makes possible all of the other things that we can achieve out of that. And that risk was made clear to members, should have been made clear to members, should have been obvious to members at full council, and I believe most members did understand that risk in March.
If I may, also as part of the process, I I was checking to make sure that the funding was in place, which I did, and also checked that the consultation did take place with leaders of the opposition and independent, and asked officers if there are any specific issues that were raised to the officers that were outstanding at that stage, and none were reported back to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sankey. We'll now move to Councillor Florence Dukes.
Thank you, Chair. I have got a question, but just a bit of context first. Councillor Allen and many members here will be well aware that I have been, since I got elected to the council in 2017, often a lone voice in the council standing to my feet, calling for regeneration of Burton, particularly that Bargates area, as you recall. And I was a lone voice calling for that, saying that the council, or certainly the leaders of the council, weren't ambitious enough, didn't have vision, and in my view didn't want what was best for Burton. I did vote for the revised Part D of the Town Deals Board project at the later meeting in March, not the February one, because I didn't agree with the selling off of the library and so on, but I did vote for the regeneration of Project D, and I did so in good faith at that time, because it is what's best for the town, and I do believe that, and I still believe that. However, my concern is with one building only, and that is Bass House. I had the tour around Bass House, as many of us did, and I actually walked around with Tom Deary, and he and I made numerous comments about the size of the building, the fact that, and I'm willing to be corrected on this, it's not been occupied for about a decade now. It's not been heated for a great number of years. Certainly parts of it are in disrepair, particularly obviously the top floor with roofing and so on. And I described it as a money pit. It is absolutely huge, that building is. At the time, as you've confirmed, Councillor Allen, the idea wasn't to put the National Brewery Centre in there, but now it is. Now, I'm hoping that you've recalculated your sums on that building, and that tonight you can tell us, in a ballpark figure, what that building is going to cost to get it in a state where you can house the National Brewery Centre, where you can execute this vision that you've spoken about, because in my view, that is going to cost millions and millions and millions, way more than any government funding is going to come forward with. And I will speak about it when I get the chance at the end of the meeting, but my real concern is that that building in itself is going to swamp all of your money, and that is why I think it's a tremendous risk. And I'm really hoping, I'm not political point scoring here, I don't belong to any political party, I only ever want the best for the town, I've always said that. I'm not interested in political point scoring, but I would like to know, have you revisited your sums on that Bass House to get it in a state where you can see the fruition of all the projects that you've spoken about?
Yes, there has been some work done, because we needed that work to have been done at indicative cost, because to put the bid into the government for the Levelling Up Fund in the first instance. So yes, that work's been done. I think Tom wanted to come in and give some clarity on that.
It was more a point of reassurance, if I may, Chair, around some of the points that Councillor Florence Dukes just made. So the business case for the whole project allocated funding under this project against each of the individual areas, and the council approval was given is funding for those distinct, so funding for townhouse, funding for the visitor centre, etc., etc. So there shouldn't be a scenario in which funding is drawn from one side of the project into another without any further approval, and I can't say what that would look like at the moment, but that risk of sort of swallowing the money shouldn't be an issue. Alongside this, you may not be aware, but there are various studies being undertaken at the moment into feasibility, financial analysis, marketing, conditions, asbestos, etc., that will help to inform any future decision the council may choose to make regarding Old Bass House. So there's an existing evidence base that's gone for the Levelling Up Fund, and now there's further work being done in the context of the proposed end use that will then feed into any future decision. Thank you, Chair.
Just ask a follow-up question. That in mind then, you're saying that all this work is being undertaken to calculate some costs. What if further down the line, year, 2 years down the line, those costs are prohibitive from Bath House being functioning? That's the big worry for me. That's the concern for me.
I think that would be a decision for the council to make at that point in time, councillor. But what I would remind you, I suppose, is that council made the decision on the 21st of March to buy the property and own the property without having a proposed use for it. So the ongoing cost of having the property is something that council should have sort of borne in mind at the point of the 21st of March. Thank you.
I'd just add to that and that risk had been accounted for and was taken stock of. I think that goes to the heart of what we're talking about today. Members voted for it in March, knowing there wasn't a use for it. That risk had been accounted for, and that's what I said in my opening statement.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. Councillor Walk.
Yeah. Can I ask why that risk wasn't accounted for? Because there still seems to be some question mark around this June the 6th date, and just going back to what was mentioned about the vote and why people abstained from my colleagues on the front table, one of the reasons why people abstained at the full council meeting because of the lack of answers coming forward regarding what was known and what wasn't known around June the 6th. So now, since March, I've got my dates mixed up. But anyway, moving on to that, why wasn't that risk taken into concern? What we know now, because the MBC closed, and when we did have the meeting in March, things have changed. Things have moved on.
I'll clarify. That risk was taken into account. That was my point, and that's what I've said since I've started. That risk was taken into account, and members still supported it in the knowledge of the risk that have been outlined. So,
but surely that risk has changed. It's moved on. So are you suggesting you knew that the MBC was going to close and you factored that in?
At this point in time, the council hasn't taken a decision on the future use of Old Bath House. This is a project that is being explored. So, from a council policy framework perspective, nothing's changed.
But the risk has.
Sorry, Chair, not the risk of owning the property.
We do have to remember that we're here to scrutinise the EDR in terms of the purchase. That's the risk that we're considering here. Councillor Florence Dukes, did you have your hand in the air there? I couldn't quite tell.
Yes, yeah, sorry, it was just to clarify. I think Councillor Walker's probably, or Tom's answered Councillor Walker's point. Would you accept that the risk to Bath House, the risk to purchasing Bath House now with the intention to move the MBC into it and have it up and running, and the costs associated with that, which are going to be astronomical, do you accept that the risk to purchasing Bath House has changed significantly from when council agreed, by majority, not everybody, to purchase it in March?
And I'll answer that because I think it's important for the clarity of this whole discussion, but that isn't part of the discussion and the reasons that this EDR has been called in. Yes, there are risks attached to that, but as Tom's just confirmed, they're not quantified yet because we're still working up plans. It is my commitment as the leader of the council that I've made publicly to try and house artefacts on the MBC in the Bath House, but ultimately that decision hasn't been made yet, and when it is, those risks will be identified to members, and if there's funding requested, certainly not I don't think it would be as significant, Councillor Farnsworth is suggesting, I will have to ask I would have to come to council. I don't have the power to make that decision to spend that much money, and so at that point risks will be identified, and members will be asked to make a decision in the view of all the facts at that point. but currently it's a plan and a desire to use the Bath House to house the MBC. But that's not part of the reason for calling or the CDR.
Quite right. Thank you, Councillor Allen. Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, can I ask a question of process first, but also a question of about the committees being run? I believe we might have a right of reply at the end, is that correct? I'd like to answer some of the points that have been made.
Yeah, you can just make we go to a proposal.
I've got some questions first, if I may.
Yeah.
Can I ask, perhaps Mr. Deary is best placed to answer this, when the Levelling Up Fund 2 submission was made by the council, and on that answer I might have a comeback, if I may. But I will, just for a point of clarification, there's lots of points being made that we're only discussing the EDR tonight. Well, we are. But the EDR has implications, and it's the implications of the EDR which are bringing risk to the council, which is what I think we're discussing. So if Mr. Deary could answer when Levelling Up Fund 2 was submitted, and I might have a comeback. Thank you.
Just the date of submission, Councillor. It was the 1st or 2nd of August, from memory.
The comeback is, on the discussion we've just had with regard to risks, and the risks associated with the Levelling Up funding. And Councillor Florence-Jukes made a question about the costs. And have the costs been taken into account and readjusted now in Bath House and the use of that as a heritage centre? George Councillor Allen said, well, yeah, we have to do some work on the cost of that for helping with the Levelling Up Fund 2 bid. The bid you have just said was made in August. So how could you have taken into account the costs associated with Bath House becoming a heritage centre in August, as Councillor Allen has said, if you didn't know until September that the National Brew Centre was going to close?
Councillor Allen.
It's not subject to the decision around this EDR, so you can't quantify that.
But I'm afraid it is, because I've just said the risk associated with this EDR is that you don't get the Levelling Up Fund money, and that's one of the big risks that it was accepted by the monitoring officer in my email calling this decision in. You've suggested the Levelling Up Fund bid was made in August. Councillor Allen has said that the council has taken some investigation into the cost of the Bath House conversion, because we had to do that for the Levelling Up Fund. The bid was made in August. How could you have done the bid in August if you didn't know until September?
I think in sort of partial agreement with the leader of the council, I think some of this is outside the scope, so that wouldn't be my judgment to make. But nevertheless, I would like to clarify, because there is a sort of an underlying message there. At the point the bid went in, Councillor, we saw independent advice on identifying the costs for renovating the building and making an allowance for something else it might maybe in the future. The bid in nowhere in the bid references the National Brewery Centre or that as its proposed use.
I'm absolutely aware of that, but in a question that Councillor Florence-Jukes questioned, which was, what have we done with the costs now of the Bath House? Have they been taken into account? Bearing in mind that you want to stick a museum into it, have you looked at those costs again? What are the idea of costs? The answer that Councillor Allen gave, quite clearly, if you want to listen to the tape, you'll see it, was, yeah, we've had to take into account those costs because of the submission for Levelling Up Fund. We've had to take those cost calculations into account. That was in response to Councillor Florence-Jukes asking about the Bath House becoming a museum. So if you've taken those costs into account in August, you knew before September that the National Brewery Centre was going to close and that potential Bath House was going to be used for a museum. And that's the point, I think, of that question.
Excuse me, Chair. We're not here to discuss the National Brewery Centre. I'm very interested in that. But we're not here to discuss the decision that has been called in.
Just for a point of clarification for Councillor Hudson, if I may, there has been a suggestion by the council that Bath House is going to be used for a heritage centre to encapsulate everything that's currently in the National Brewery Centre. The council needs funding for that, and the funding for that is going to come from the Levelling Up Fund submission. As the Chief Executive said to me, which Councillor Allen suggested is nonsense, but then has agreed with, the council may have enough money to buy the buildings, which is Town's fund money. It needs Levelling Up Fund 2 to actually do something with them. And the Levelling Up Fund 2 proposals have been based on cost submissions for the Bath House being a heritage centre, as we've just said. So it does, I'm afraid, you do need to take into account the closure of the National Brewery Centre.
This has turned into submissions on your part. There's no actual question.
Because I'm defending statements that are made, John Teasdale.
I understand that, but what we're supposed to do is asking prudent, relevant questions.
Well, I've asked a couple
in regards to the reason as to why we're here today.
Well, I've
and
asked
this
has
turned into it's a bit of a personal.
Well, it's personal. If you listen to the statement that Councillor Allen made at the start, it was very personal and defensive. Statements have been made since have been incorrect. Statements have been made since need exposing and scrutinising. And that is my role as a councillor.
I think we can all endeavour, Councillor Grover, to be a bit more succinct and relevant to the question, because we keep veering off course. We do.
If I may interject here and remind again, we're here to scrutinise this EDR being the purchase of those properties, not about what subsequently happens to them as part of funding that we do not know about yet.
That is the risk, with all due respect, that is the risk if we don't get funding to do anything with the buildings. That is the risk.
That is your view, Councillor. Councillor
Hudson. If I remember going back to March, a heritage centre of some thing was discussed, not the National Brewery Centre, but a heritage centre for Burton, celebrating other parts of history that Burton is part of. That was what was discussed in March. So Heritage Centre, in by name, was discussed, but it was about a museum to celebrate Burton, and the National Brewery Centre was not discussed at all.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just again as a point of clarification on this, the costings for Old Bath House that were factored in as part of the Towns Fund and subsequent Levelling Up Fund bid, were, because we didn't know what the building would be used for, were actually based on residential uses, as they were deemed to be higher cost, so it was erring on the side of caution. So if there was a predetermined end use for the building, that would have gone into the bid.
Councillor Allen, do you wish to add anything there?
Just to reiterate, I thought I was being called here today to discuss the risks associated with the EDR, and we seem to be being drawn into discussing what our plans with the MBC are and Levelling Up Fund. As Tom's just said, the Lough 2 bid around the Bath House was simply to renovate it to a space where we can, for flexible use. We don't know what that might be. We certainly don't know what that might be at that time. But we have, if it's successful, we know we have, I think it's at least £5 million to get started. And as Councillor Hudson just pointed out, there's £1.5 million already in the Towns Fund to realise a museum in the townhouse. So we could move that fund and have it all in the Bath House, or we could keep it where it is. And that is the work that is just now developing through the Heritage Working Group. And I guess I can't blame, in some ways, Councillor Grosvenor's misunderstanding. There is so much misinformation being pumped out on social media. There's even, I've seen today, formal official council documents being falsified to be used with the purpose of misinforming the public. We can't work with that. We can't do much about that.
Can Councillor Allen clarify that?
Can Councillor Allen clarify that?
That's an opinion.
Let's not interrupt here, Councillor Grosvenor. Let Councillor Allen finish and then come back.
Councillor Grosvenor has a problem with the truth. I can only talk about what we know about, which is factual, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm only here to discuss the EDR and the call-in.
If I may add a response for Councillor Grosvenor, I was the one who reported to the council that I'd found falsified copies of the risk register online. So someone had manipulated those files and then put them out there to try and presumably raise a bit more discussion on forums. So that came as a result of my own investigations.
For you, Chair, I think we should all get back to the point of why we're here. The EDR and risk. We're veering off topic slightly. There's been some suggestions made, but let's drop those suggestions and focus on the topic at hand, please.
Along those lines.
Thank you, Chair. One question I have got, I'm not on social media and I don't read the mail, so I'm probably in the dark on what has actually been committed by this council in terms of the National Brewery Centre. It's my understanding that the council have agreed to take on the role of the National Brewery Centre in the Bath House. I'm willing to be corrected on that, because that's just information that I've picked up as I've gone along. So can the leader of the council clarify is this council committed to the National Brewery Centre in Bath House? That's my question.
I'm sorry, Councillor Florence Tewkes, I won't allow you to put that question to him. It's completely outside the scope of our committee.
Well, if I can just clarify, it is relevant because that then calls into question the risk of purchasing Bath House. If you're expecting an oven-ready project to be up and running, i.e. the transition from the National Brewery Centre where it was into Bath House, then that poses, in my view, significant risk to council funds, not just in the immediate future, but in 5-10 years' time. So that, to my mind, is the whole point of it being the risk factor. That's what calculates the risk. If there's no intention, I voted for Project D on the understanding that Bath House was an ongoing project, that it wasn't really defined in any definitive terms what would become of Bath House. But I'm now hearing, and I would like clarification, is the intention to put the National Brewery Centre in Bath House? Because that alters the risk to the whole, in my view, purchase of Bath House, because there's an expectation that significant funds have got to be pumped into Bath House to get it to a state where visitors can go, and that's going to take significant funds. So I think that's why the question's relevant. I'm willing to be corrected on that. But
in my view as Chair, I believe you have many opportunities to ask that question of the Council. I don't believe this Scrutiny Committee is the place to be asking that question. Councillor Hudson.
Okay, so when the leader and the cabinet make a decision of this magnitude, they should take all reasonable steps to look at the reasonable risks. I've already asked that question of the leader and of the deputy leader. Are the risks reasonable? They have said that they are reasonable in the circumstances. To me, that's the end of the matter.
Thank you, Councillor Hudson. Councillor Beach.
I don't know if I'm asking a question, making a statement, or asking for clarity, so I apologise in advance. Right. On the risk registers that we have received, that I assume are available on the website, the risk register dated March 2022, item 13, I'm right on top, yeah. Item 13, right, you go across in red, the risk score is number 13. I don't know if I'm asking Tom, really. 13. Okay, in March, when we took the vote to go with the Townsville Fund project to purchase the building. Right, go across to the risk register on the 9th of 22, excuse me, September 22, item 13, go across. I've got a different number than 13, I've got 9. That to me says that the risk now, in September, it has been recalculated, which answers the previous question, and is lower than it was in March when we voted to purchase the building, which is what we're supposed to be discussing. Am I reading that correctly? Because that is my understanding.
That's correct, Councillor, and as a point of slight further clarification on that risk, it was at its highest in March on the basis that the Towns Fund was being submitted without any awareness that it would be approved. It was reduced in August when the Towns Fund was confirmed as being successful, funding for phase one was secured, and it was increased in September as a result of the levelling up, you know, still being unknown, I suppose.
But it is lower now.
It is lower now than in March. That's correct.
And as a consequence of the Townsville Fund project, we are purchasing a multiple site to carry out those projects.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas Deary, and thank you, Councillor Beach. Councillor Grove. Now.
Yeah, a point of order, not a point of clarification. We don't have point of clarifications in our standing order. It's a point of order with regards to the topic of the debate. The reasons for this meeting this evening being accepted, as the monitoring officer just pointed out, was that the email that I sent in with regards to 11.2.10, which said that risks haven't been taken into account, the wording of that is, with due regard to the risks involved, the Council has suggested that it will use Bath House to host some of the artefacts currently housed in the National Brewery Centre, and that regeneration work on Bath House specifically to undertake this will be done with levelling up funding. In a conversation with me, Chief Executive has said this, that, and, which is what he said, and that the council may have enough funding to purchase the buildings but not enough money to do anything with them. This in itself is a risk. So as that has been accepted as a valid reason for this call-in this evening, and it references the use of Bathurst for National Brewery Centre artefacts and archives, I'm afraid discussions around that are valid, on topic, and in playing with the debate that we're having. So I don't think you can exclude them from the debate, because they're included in the reasons that I've given and that the Mine Shoppers are accepted.
For you, Chair. Councillor Grosvenor, I take the view that the emphasis has to be with due regard to the risks involved. I appreciate the narrative you've put after your reasons for submitting it, but the focus has to be on risks and to the EDR itself. That's my point.
But my point is that the examples I've given are specific elements of risk to the EDR. The future you, Councillor Beach may shake her head, but the future use of Bathurst and the way that's going to be funded is specific risks. Now, Councillor Allen has said that, you know, the risks have not been quantified yet. That's one of the points he made earlier on. But he's also said that the risks are worth taking. Well, they can't be worth taking if they've not been quantified. So they are a risk. It's a risk to this decision. They've not been quantified, and it's a risk worth taking. It's a huge risk to this council moving forward in terms of the current financial position and future financial position of the council beyond the acquisition of the Bass House. That's why it has to be taken into account.
Just before you do, I just want to point out I agree with the monitoring officer's interpretation of the call-in. Councillor Allen? Or Mr. Deary?
Not quite, Chair. I think the key part of the call-in request is the word suggested in that first sentence and not decided. The council suggested and not decided. And so the risks of purchasing the property are as of the 21st of March decision. Any risks associated with the future delivery of that property will be for a future decision, and the risk could be scrutinised at that point in time. I think a focus of the discussion on that point preempts a future council decision.
And just to come back on that, Councillor Allen has also said, and he can shake his head, but it's on the tape, nothing has changed since March. Well, I'd argue that actually things have changed since March. The NBC is going to close. The National Brewery Centre is apparently going to move into the Bass House, which is what the council's objective is. And now and the financial standing of the council and the country is at risk. Inflation is currently at 10%. And those things have changed since the decision took place. They are huge risks to the council, and that's why they need to be discussed. People referring to the decision that was taken in March, I voted against it. As you know, I voted against it because I didn't think the financial position was clear enough. And things have changed since March, which have impacted the risk of the decision that was taken 2 weeks ago. The decision wasn't taken until 2 weeks ago. It wasn't taken in March. It was taken 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago by Councillor Allen and Councillor. And unfortunately, in between March and the decision taking place, risks have multiplied. And that's why we're having the debate this evening.
I suspect Councillor Allen wishes to make a statement at this point.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think this is a debate. This should be question and answer. And I've answered questions that I think are outside the realm of the reason for the call in the first instance. But just for clarity, when I said the risks have not been quantified, I was referring to the risks around the the Bass House being used as the NBC. We are going to need funding for that, perhaps more than what we'll get from the Levelling Up Fund. That is my commitment to make. Council haven't made it. I've made that commitment because there's a great deal of concern about the NBC closing. I might be wrong, and I stand to be corrected, but I'm pretty sure it's an emotive subject, and I think it's right that we use this building to try and rehome NBC artefacts. That risk hasn't been quantified yet because the decision hasn't been made. All I have done is made a commitment that this council should try and fulfil that gap that's now being created by the decision that Molson Coors took in isolation to our plans. Nothing has changed since March because, as Councillor Hudson has already pointed out, members were made aware that were aware of the point that the decision was made that there were no plans with the Bass House, but it was a risk worth taking because it enabled all of the regeneration plans. Now, the alternative is that we don't buy the land and we say to Molson Coors, sorry, the risks are too high, we're not going to buy it. And what happens then? We don't have to wonder what happens then. We know what happens then. There's a local plan that's adopted that Councillor Grosvenor pushed through when he was the leader. There's 200 houses allocated. The site is allocated for 200 dwellings. It is one of only three sites left in the local plan that yet to be developed. And if we don't take control of it, we can't stop that, those houses being developed. There's nothing stopping Molson Coors moving off that site. They've already decided to do that. They're going to move to the MBC. What do you think is going to happen if we were to say we're not going to buy this property? We'll lose all the regeneration plans and the vision that we've built up, and there's a very real risk then of it being sold to a developer and 200 houses being built on, as Councillor Grosvenor's local plan has outlined.
You raise an interesting point there, Councillor Allen, that there are risks associated with the purchase. There are also a great many risks associated with not going through with the purchase, and that's worth bearing in mind. Councillor Grosvenor, did you have something you wanted to say there?
Yeah, I do actually. A local plan was adopted in 2016. Councillor Allen was in the group. Councillor Allen didn't vote against that or argue against the local plan. And it's not the local plan that has forced the National Brew Centre to close. It's the council approaching Molson Coors to purchase Molson Coors offices, which has forced the National Brew Centre to close. Just a point of clarification, I'm going to have to ask for leniency there, because accusations were made against me, Mr. Teasdale, which I need to justify.
No, but I would say, Councillor Grove, I did address that, and I'll address you now on the subject. No speculation, no accusations, please. Thank you.
Will you give Councillor Allen the same warning?
I did at the time, thank you.
You just made a statement just then.
If I may appeal for calm, this is an extremely emotive topic. It's a very hot topic in Burton. Does anyone have any remaining questions relating to risk in association with the EDR purchase of the site? Councillor Florence.
Thank you, Chair. When, Councillor Allen, do you anticipate recalculation of the figures for Bath House? You've said that you need to go back and do some sums and work out roughly how much it's going to cost to potentially put the National Brewery Centre in there. When do you anticipate having some recalculation of figures? Will it be before the election next May or after?
Please don't feel the need to answer that question, but go ahead if you wish, Councillor Allen.
I think it was a political point by a self-professed and non-political operator.
Okay, let's move beyond this. Does anyone have any remaining questions? Councillor Hadley.
Thank you, Chair. So I'd like to discuss about the 106 monies being the commuted sums. It looks like some of the sums, especially that I've researched on the one ending in 046, it looks like this the sum of money has since expired. The agreement was signed in 15th July 2013, and it says like after 5 years of the date of that should be returned if there's no affordable housing in the area made. Those sums should be returned to the builder. So I just want to clarify, is that actually correct that we can use these sums?
You're quite right, Councillor, in terms of the requirement of the 106 and the deadline. The extension to that deadline has been agreed between the Council and the developer, so that June deadline no longer bites.
Please go ahead.
Also, maybe perfectly legal now, it's increased in enhancement, but that means that it's nearly been 10 years since that deadline that the Council has not used these funds for affordable housing. And you've seen all around the country about how people are being, the cost of living crisis is hitting hard, and those affordable houses could have really reduced their suffering. Like, even though it's just a few houses, it can go a long way with certainly some bills with some people. That's just a comment. I know it's outside of the remit.
Chair, if I may just make an offer to the Council that I'm happy to discuss outside of this meeting our approach to utilising the funds, if it might help, just as a general offer. Thank you.
Councillor Allen.
Councillor Hadley's right. There is a sum of money that has been built up Section 106 funds used that should be should be used on affordable housing. Affordable housing hasn't been delivered on site. It comes to us that we used to release brownfield housing. There's a policy adopted under Councillor Grosvenor that failed to get that money moving quick enough, and only last year we made in this corporate plan year actually we made a commitment to change that policy into a framework that will make that policy, that money, easy to spend, and hopefully we can see more affordable houses coming on stream as quickly as possible. But he is right, the money needs to be spent as quickly as possible on affordable housing, which this site does deliver.
Thank you for that. Councillor Florence Dukes.
Yeah, Councillor Grosvenor's not been the leader of this council for 3 years, so why does it take me 3 years to utilise that Section 106 money? Why not do it quicker?
You don't have to provide a response if you do not wish.
It takes a considerable amount of time for developers and projects to be worked up, and as soon as it was identified to me that actually that brownfield infill regeneration policy, I think brownfield infill regeneration policy of 2017 had only actually yielded one, I think, development, so it wasn't really doing much. And as soon as it was identified to me, we put it into the next corporate round, corporate plan, and changed the policy.
We do appear to be in danger of wandering off topic again. Does anyone have any remaining questions relating to the risk related to the EDR before we move forwards? No. In that case, I would like to make a proposal. I would like to put forward the motion under section 6.4.11.1 that we allow this decision to stand. I would like to ask if there's a seconder for that. Councillor Hudson. Councillor Hudson, do you wish to make any statement?
Yes. I think there's two things that we need to look at here. There's the risks. So the risks of purchasing, does that outweigh the risk of not? And I think in this instance, the risk of purchasing it should go. Yeah. What is reasonable? I've asked several times tonight, are the risks reasonable? We've been assured that they are. So if they're reasonable, then that's why I feel that we should let the decision stand for those two reasons.
And my own thoughts on that are relating to the standardised way in which risk management has been attempted by, has been followed through by this council. I can't identify any weaknesses in that. There appears to be a good level of process behind it. There are a lot of emotive issues around the EDR, but they're not related to the EDR specifically in terms of this scrutiny committee. I will now move to the vote. All in favour of allowing the decision to stand, please raise your hands. All against, and no abstentions. Thank you very much. Now, I'm aware that many of you in the audience, you didn't just have a sudden hankering to attend a scrutiny committee, you were probably here for that item. So I'm going to suggest we have a 2-minute break now. If you wish to stay, you're welcome. If you want to make a run for it now, you're also welcome, or to have a comfort break, and we will reconvene in 2 or 3 minutes' time. Thank you very much. Okay, we will reconvene now. Thank you very much for coming back promptly. We will move to item 6 of the agenda. That's the update on ongoing reviews. Now, we currently have 4 reviews underway in the scrutiny committee. We have the ICT review. As an update on the ICT review situation, we were tasked with gathering some data. Sal, would you mind shutting the doors? Or so the members of the public very excited. For a second there, I thought Councillor Sankey was going to close the doors with himself on the outside, but he has come back in. Okay, so the ICT review, we've been gathering data. We have gathered data by survey from officers in terms of managers mostly in relation to ICT provision and how content they are with that and the ideas that they might have for improvement to the ICT provision. We've also sent out a member survey to gather the opinions of councillors. We've had the set of results back from both of those, and it's early days in terms of the analysis, but some very good points have been raised by both the managers and by the councillors. So I'm fairly confident we'll have some quite interesting proposals to discuss in future meetings. We've also done a benchmarking exercise of nearest neighbour councils in terms of their ICT structure and the way in which they go about their operations. And again, with that data set back, and I think we got six or seven councils respond, there's actually some quite interesting developments there in terms of differences between how different councils approach ICT. Now, along those lines, the subgroup decided that the best way forward here was to invite Guy, the IT manager, to our next scrutiny meeting in December so that we can make available to the scrutiny councillors all the documentation that we've received, the two surveys and the benchmarking data, and ask him some questions in terms of the ICT strategy of this council and whether improvements can be made going forward. I suspect in terms of a review, we will probably be looking at producing draft recommendations after that December meeting, so probably in time for the next meeting that will be held in January-February time. In terms of other reviews underway, we've got the DFG, the Disabled Facilities Grant scrutiny item. Councillor McGarry, do you wish to say anything on that one?
Thank you, Chair. Just a very brief update. Myself, Councillor Beach, and yourself and James met a couple of weeks ago. We intend to meet again in early January. Unfortunately, attendance has been slightly low, so we've had to do some catching up on things that haven't been mentioned in the past. But I know that James is keen to bring Trent and Dove forward for some further questions that we have, and also Rachel to give us an update from officers. So that's going to happen on the 4th of January.
Okay. We also have the mayoralty review, but obviously that's the next agenda item, so I'll put that to one side for the time being. And our final item is the civil enforcement scrutiny item, which we decided to run as a full committee. And I believe James has an update for us on where we are with data gathering on that one.
Yes, yeah, so colleagues have been gathering the relevant desktop type of information that's been identified in the scoping paper. We're expecting the specifics. We've gathered some information on the performance type of information. So, for example, through the member briefing, there's a lot of information around a number of enforcement, civil enforcement types of activities. So we've collated all those together, which we hope will be useful moving forward, along with all the press releases and social media, etc., that are related to civil enforcement and enforcement that's been identified in the scope, as I say. The specific information from the service managers is expected back within the next week or two. So once we've had that more detailed information, that review will start to gather a little bit more momentum, and we'll collate all of that and arrange for a discussion with all members to agree the next steps.
Okay. Any questions around the table about the three items that we've just given an update on? No. In that case, we will continue with those activities over the coming months. We will now move to the next item on the agenda, which is, I'm trying to find the actual wording on this. Sorry, I shut the file, I should have kept open. Scrutiny review of the mayoralty. Now, you'll have seen that enclosure 3 contained the draft report for the mayoralty scrutiny item. The mayoralty scrutiny item has been underway for many years. It has been subject to quite a few different changeovers of councillors and, in fact, a changeover structure of a scrutiny committee as well. So it's passed through a fair few hands, this one, in coming to the committee. The recommendations that have been put forward in the draft report, there are four of them, to improve the council's web and social media presence for the mayoralty, to encourage the council to produce additional press releases relating to the events the mayor attends, for the council to encourage ward members to highlight the potential benefits of mayoral visits in discussion with relevant community groups and businesses, And finally, to encourage more detailed documentation of the cost-benefit justification for event attendance in relation to events outside the Staffordshire, South Derbyshire county boundaries. Now, those recommendations came from a number of data-gathering exercises, some of them more desk-based, some of them through, for example, interviews with previous mayors. We have had some issues with attendance at subgroup meetings, but eventually we have managed to produce the draft recommendations you see before you today. It has taken a little bit longer than we had planned, I think. Does anyone have any questions relating to the mayoralty item? No? In that case, I move that we approve the mayoralty report so that it can go to Cabinet. Do I have a seconder for that? Thank you, Councillor McGarry. All in favour of approving the report? Against? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay. And that concludes the public part of the meeting. I will now read the special note I have before me. The Chairman therefore moves that in accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted, or the